Hello and welcome to this journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Caterina Albano. This week we're going to be looking at technology journalism, where the opportunities are for new writers and what skills publications are looking for. Technology journalism is about more than phone or app reviews. As new tech starts to filter into more and more aspects of our lives, it's an exciting topic to write about. But how do you get your foot in the door? I spoke to Alex Wood, editor-in-chief of The Memo, a publication that aims to cover not just the latest news in tech, but also why this news matters, and to Holly Brockwell, editor-in-chief of Gadget, a technology site for women, to find out what the technology media landscape looks like today and how young journalists can make a name for themselves. Both The Memo and Gadget are published by an agency called Creative Agenda. And to kick off, I asked them both what a day in the life of their newsroom looks like.
Our days usually start off, especially for myself and Alex, you know, we'll be on sort of Twitter and social media and news sites and RSS feeds as soon as we're up, really. You know, we want to know what's going on in the world and what's happening and if there's anything that we want to write about. I will be formulating ideas. Sometimes I write articles on the tube on the way into work. You know, I'll be thinking, I'll be making lists. Sometimes I'll have a few notes that I've made the night before. So we'll be on it as soon as we're getting up, really, and then we get to work. I tend to try and spend the morning trying to write sort of quick fire stuff to get a few more newsy posts out or a few quicker posts out, and then the afternoon is more for kind of labours of love, things that take a little bit longer, phone reviews, more in-depth things like that. Lunchtimes we often spend with PR people because it's quite a handy time for them and for us to just sort of meet up and discuss what they've got coming up, what we've got coming up, and how we can work together. Evenings often get taken up by kind of product launches, phone launches, things like that, which are always really fun to go to. They're not mandatory, but I go because I enjoy going. They're always really fun. It's quite nice to sort of make friends with the people that go, and you tend to see the same sort of journalists and the same PRs at the events quite a lot. I think I see them all in my family, so it's quite good to make friends with people like that. And yeah, we absolutely do get to try out new stuff. We get people bringing us in robot cars and stuff, and showing us how to use them in our office, which is amazing. And honestly, I wouldn't do any other job. It's fantastic.
We have quite an interesting and unusual kind of framework for our day. So we start quite early in the morning and we scan the news, try and understand what's trending at the moment. And in a similar vein to Holly, we try and do a lot of the more reactive and trending and news stories in the morning. At lunchtime, we send out the Daily Memo newsletter that goes out to all of our subscribers. And then we kind of switch gears. And after lunchtime, we then look at our longer form pieces, our interviews, our first-hand kind of hands-on pieces. And on top of that, we're also regularly doing bits and pieces with the media. So we might be doing spots on CNN television, maybe CNBC, Share Radio. And so it's a really kind of fast-paced morning. And then the afternoon is very much, how can we do a big piece? How can we do some investigation and do something worthwhile as well?
If you're wondering what sort of training you'd need to get your big break in technology journalism, there's no set recipe to follow.
So I worked as an advertising copywriter for about 7 years, but in that time I worked on a lot of tech brands just because I was the one in the department that was the most interested in it. So I worked on sort of Apple and BlackBerry and all sorts of tech brands. And then on Twitter, I kind of saw a tech brand that I really like, Shiny Shiny, which is for women, advertising for a reviews editor to do smartphone reviews. And I kind of took that on in addition to my copywriting job. And then I loved it so much that I had to leave advertising. I couldn't do it all day anymore, knowing that there was something so much better out there. So I switched over to that full time and they made me editor within a month.
So I have quite an unusual background in journalism. I started out as a reporter in Japan for a Japanese newspaper. I was a trainee there writing in Japanese. And because I was based in Osaka, I was really close to Nintendo and Panasonic and Sharp, the major Japanese electronics companies out there. And so I kind of drifted into technology from that side. And to be honest, I've always loved tech, always been into gadgets, and always been really interested about the impact of technology on business and on politics. Came back to the UK, went to City University, did the postgrad there. And then that kind of developed into me being involved in startups and then working for the BBC World Service as a data journalist, Bloomberg TV as a producer covering tech, and then more recently Tech City News, which I launched along with the team there, built it up, launched a print magazine as well, which was pretty mad, and really got a taste for startups and kind of got the bug and decided that it was time to have my own startup and launched The Memo. And what's really nice about the memo is it's a real kind of development of my own journey through technology. And it's less about the early stage side of tech and more about what does technology mean to people's lives, whether that's their business lives, their personal lives, and also government as well.
But there are, however, some skills young journalists should have. Technology journalism is struggling with the same issues facing other specialisms, and perhaps even more so in one aspect, journalism.
What I'm really looking for is people who want to take stories further. I think we're living in a world where there's more and more technology PRs than there are journalists. I think the last kind of figures I looked at is there's 6 times more tech PRs than tech journalists out there in the market. And what that means is that we need more than ever people who are really creative, people who aren't going to go, I mean, look at the news today, you know, the iPhone 6S is coming out and it's just the same old churn happening over and over again. And what I'm really excited about is the people who are going to look at a story and say, let's take it on a fresh angle, let's be hungry, let's build something really exciting.
And another advantage for those looking for opportunities in the field would be the ability to work independently and also be able to work in different mediums.
I think it's really important to be independent. I think your editor generally is not going to have a whole lot of time, especially for me, because we're still really in launch phase. So what's really amazing about my staff writer, Emma, is that she can just go away and get on with it. She knows what she wants to write about, and she'll check in with me a couple of times, but she just does it. She's a machine, essentially. She just writes. And the stuff that she does, you know, she proofreads it really carefully, so I don't have to spend time sub-editing it, which obviously saves me time and money, which is great.
I think I definitely second what Holly said there. It's no secret that more and more people coming into the industry need to be completely multi-skilled. And when we're looking to hire on both publications, we want people who are not only amazing writers, can pretty much sub their own copy, but also people who are interested in video as well. That's so, so important to both brands.
Yeah, that's really important.
But how much do you really need to know about technology before you can apply for your first role or internship in the field? And if you're already covering general news, how can you start moving towards a more techy beat?
As long as you can demonstrate enthusiasm and interest and you're willing to learn on the job, that's all you need really from my side. I think if you're excited about it, that's something that you can't fake really. You know, if you could have written 100 things about technology, but if it's not something that actually gets you excited and gets you out of bed in the morning, then that's not valuable anyway. I think if you're somebody who's interested in it and you're willing to learn and you know, it's you're going to be going around the trade shows and actually go, wow, that's amazing, I want to write about that, then you're the kind of person that we want to hire. And I don't think it would be fair as well to expect people straight out of university to have a big Twitter following and a big curated blog. That stuff comes later, you know, when you've had a little bit of time to develop your career and develop your voice.
I think for me, it's so much about being plugged into like the bigger stories that are happening in the media and what's trending on the internet as well. There's a lot of conversation at the moment in technology journalism of this idea that actually tech is no longer a sector. Tech is just something that is actually influencing existing businesses, influencing our everyday culture and lives, whether that's film, media, TV. And so in a way, it's increasingly becoming less of a separate thing. So what I'm really looking for is someone who comes in the morning, has already scanned all the national newspapers, knows what the top stories are on radio, so that we can start translating that into what's hot today.
And of course, it's now easier than ever to build an online portfolio.
Don't wait for somebody to give you a job. If you want to work in the industry, just start doing it. You know, you don't need anymore to be employed by somebody to have a place to put your work. Anybody can post on Medium, anybody can post on a blog, anybody can make a video and put it on YouTube. Doesn't have to have amazing production values, doesn't have to have amazing photography. Just do it to prove that you love it and that you can do it. And then you can use that as your portfolio and show your enthusiasm. And I think that's so much more important than having another publication on your CV.
But where should you look for commissions or a staff job? Posting on Medium might help you grow your online presence, but it's not going to pay your bills in the end.
I think from my side, I think there's a huge amount of growth in the slightly more specialist press. You got to look at the likes of Business Insider, The Verge. There's a lot of money flowing around BuzzFeed as well, to a certain extent. A lot of these newer brands are really mopping up a lot of the talent. And I think it's a really exciting place to be right now. Now, obviously, everyone wants to be with the big brands. I'm a visiting lecturer at City University, and every year most of my students, they want to be at the BBC, they want to be at ITV, etc., etc. But actually, I think there's a lot to be said for really making a name for yourself in this space. And we're now already seeing that, you know, the likes of the Times, the BBC, they have multiple people covering technology. And so it's a smart move to make.
Writing about tech isn't always smooth sailing, especially for women. Holly has seen her fair share of sexism in the tech industry and says she's the only woman in the room at launch events often enough. So what's it like for women in tech journalism?
it's brilliant and terrible. I kind of love it and hate it at the same time. Obviously, you get a lot of comments about your gender. There's no avoiding that. It just happens. You know, I'm often the only woman at some of the launches and events and things like that. I'm also often the only person who will call out sexism when I see it, which kind of sucks. And it's kind of a sad place to be, where you have to sort of paint yourself as the person who is going to speak up about that. But I think it's my responsibility to do it as somebody who's leading a tech site for women. You know, if I don't do it, no one else is going to do it. So I'm happy to, but sadly, sometimes it can be a bit depressing when you know that you haven't been invited to something because they know that you won't appreciate some of the comments perhaps that might be made. Having said that, we've had a ton of support, and actually we have a lot of male readers at the moment, which I think is quite amazing. Hugely appreciate the support from men. They all keep saying things like, you know, I'm not the target audience, but I really like what Gadget's doing, which is great to hear. And again, there's been some very positive upsides as well. You know, there's lots of people kind of championing us on and sort of saying that they think it's about time that we existed. So there's good and bad, but yeah, the bad is pretty much exactly what you'd expect, the kind of trolling and the nasty comments on Twitter and all the usual, but I've had it all my life. I'm kind of used to it.
I have to say, like, from a whole company-wide perspective, putting the two publications together, I'm like personally really proud that we're actually a majority female company in the tech publishing world. I think it's a wonderful thing, and it changes our perspective on how we approach stories. And
Gadget has had to shut down its comment section because of trolling in reaction to certain stories the team has published. As dealing with these kinds of comments can be daunting, Holly says women new to tech journalism could potentially look for mentors in the industry to learn how to cope with these reactions.
Keep reminding yourself that we need women in this industry and we can't let the trolls win. It's so important that we get more diversity into the industry, not just in terms of women, but in terms of everyone. It needs to reflect the greater society. And at the moment, it's not doing a great job of that. But the more we push and the more of us that there are, the better it's going to get. We have to keep pushing for that.
And we can't forget as well that, yes, in the industry, there aren't enough women in technology, but actually look at the consumer base. Women make up at least half of the consumer base in technology, yeah. And that's why they're really important. And
yeah, like, women make a lot of the purchasing decisions as well, which marketers realise, but at the same time talk down to us and patronise us.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.